Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and I just want to welcome you to the programming that we do here, and pray that these words that you hear today, you will be touched. And we've been doing a little bit of a series, quick series, on some of Paul's last words in Philippians, and we're going to stay in Philippians today, but we're also going to read a passage from Malachi. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4 today. And before we go to God's Word, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God Almighty, we just pray that as we turn to your word is a living word, and may your words just transform our lives. May your words enter our hearts, and may we receive all that you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Old Testament reading today comes from the last book of the Old Testament written by the prophet Malachi. Malachi writes a letter to turn the hearts of the people back to God. The theme of Malachi is that God's love is for his people. Malachi confronts the people with their sin and reminds them that the Lord is coming. After the book of Malachi, there are 400 years of silence until the New Testament begins and John the Baptist comes proclaiming a message of repentance and calling the people of Israel back to God. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Malachi chapter 3, 10 through 12. If you don't have a Bible, or if you're driving, or if you're working, or if you're just listening to the Word, may these words just touch your hearts. Malachi chapter 3, verses 10, 11, and 12. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. Listen, that's a wonderful word from God. God says that we can test him if we bring our tithe into the storehouse. He says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. What a vision. If we put God to the test and we bring our tithe into the storehouse, God's going to open the floodgates of heaven and pour out blessings that we won't even have room enough to store. Verse 11, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Today we turn back again, we turn our hearts and minds once again to some of the final words Paul has to say to the church in Philippi. Paul had many wonderful words to say about living a life in Christ's grace and love. Paul's letter to the Philippians is a letter of joy. And last week, if you were listening to the programming, we heard that our contentment is found in Christ alone. Paul gave us those powerful words from verses 11 through 13, and I'm going to just read them again to you so that you could hear them. Paul says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. What a powerful word. I'm going to just pause there because I think there are people that are looking and searching for contentment. And Paul says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Lord, I pray for those that are searching for contentment to find their contentment in you right now, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Now we're going to turn to Paul's final words of hope and grace and joy as Paul thanks the church for their faithfulness in giving. Philippians 4:13 through 20. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. What a powerful word. We can do everything through Christ who gives us strength. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They were a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's the ending of Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. Paul comes to the conclusion of this letter with these words of thanks and praise for the Philippians' faithfulness in giving. As I have mentioned before, the church in Philippi collected an offering more than once for Paul as he traveled through Asia and Europe ministering the good news of the gospel. Paul says in verse 18 that the church has been blessed and has been credited to their account in the matter of giving and receiving. The matter of giving and receiving. I know what some of you may be thinking. Here we go again. The pastor wants to talk about money. Do you know that the Bible includes more than 800 references to money? Did you know that Jesus spoke more about money than the topics of heaven or hell? It must have been important for us to learn to possess what we've been given rather than let money possess us. Let me say that again. I think, and I really believe, that it's more important for us to learn to possess what we've been given rather than let money possess us. A pastor once said, "I can write the entire story of your spiritual life by looking at your checkbook." Wow. I paused there for a minute. I can write the entire story of your spiritual life by looking at your checkbook. No doubt, one of the greatest measures of our spiritual maturity is the way we handle money. For too many Christians, money possesses them rather than the other way around. Money possesses so many people rather than our possessions being found in Christ. The current economic crisis has caused everyone to become more and more aware of their resources. In seasons of economic difficulty, the church needs more resources, not less, to minister to the community needs. And so the focus of this week's message is about sowing generosity in the matter of giving and receiving. In his book, The Prodigal God, best-selling author and pastor Timothy Keller offers the following story to illustrate self-centered giving. So I'm going to read a portion of Keller's book, The Prodigal God. Keller says, "Once upon a time, there was a gardener who grew an enormous carrot. So he took it to his king and said, 'My lord, this is the greatest carrot I have ever grown or ever will grow. Therefore, I want to present it to you as a token of my love and respect for you.' The king was touched and discerned the man's heart. So as the gardener turned to go, and the king said, 'Wait, you are clearly a good steward of the earth. I own a plot of land right next to yours. I want to give the land to you freely as a gift so you can garden it all.' And the gardener was amazed and delighted and went home rejoicing. But there was a nobleman at the king's court who overheard all this, and he said, 'My, if that is what you get for a carrot, what if you gave the king something better?' So the next day, the nobleman came before the king, and he was leading a handsome black stallion. He bowed low and he said, 'My lord, I breed horses, and this is the greatest horse I have ever bred or ever will. Therefore, I want to present it to you as a token of my love and respect for you.' But the king discerned his heart and said, 'Thank you,' and took the horse and merely dismissed the man. The nobleman was perplexed. So the king said, "Let me explain. The gardener was giving me the carrot, but you were giving yourself the horse." The basic simple truth of stewardship is about a change of heart. God does not need your money. Did you hear me? God does not need your money. He owns the thousands and thousands and thousands of cattle on a thousand hills, is what Scripture says. What God really wants is your heart. Let me say that again. What God really wants is your heart. If God can change our hearts, then God gets all of us, our hands, our feet, our mouths, our minds, and, well, even our checkbooks. You see, the farmer gave the king his carrot with no strings attached, and the nobleman gave the beautiful stallion with the strings of hoping for something bigger in return. So a so what question comes early in today's message. How do we give to God? How do we give to God? Do we sow sparingly? Do we sow with strings attached? Or do we sow generously in the matter of giving and receiving? Those are some profound and thought-provoking questions, especially here at the beginning of this year. How do we give to God? How do we sow? Do we sow sparingly? Do we sow with strings attached? Or do we sow generously in the matter of giving and receiving? A Minneapolis couple decided to go to Florida to thaw out during a particular icy winter. They planned to stay at the same hotel where they spent their honeymoon 20 years earlier. Because of the hectic schedules, it was difficult to coordinate their travel schedule, so the husband left Minnesota and flew to Florida on a Thursday while his wife was flying down the following day. The husband checked into a hotel. There was a computer in his room, so he decided to send an email to his wife. However, he accidentally left out one letter in her email address and, without realizing his error, sent the email. Meanwhile, somewhere in Houston, a widow who had just returned home from her husband's funeral, he was a minister who was called home to glory following a heart attack. The widow decided to check her email, expecting a message from relatives and friends, and after reading the first message, she screamed and fainted. The widow's son rushed into the room, found his mother on the floor, and saw the computer screen, which read, "To my loving wife. Subject, I just arrived. Date, October 16th. I know you're surprised to hear from me. They have computers here now, and we are allowed to send emails to your loved ones. I just arrived and have checked in. I've seen that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you then. Hope your journey is as uneventful as mine was. P.S. It sure is hot down here." Well, I thought that was funny, and I shared it. But during one of the most volatile periods of the current economic period, a week in which global stock markets declined by $7 trillion, Philip Yancey received a call from an editor at the Time magazine. The editor's question was simple. How should a person pray during a crisis like this? Here is a summary of what Yancey shared in response. The first stage is simple. An instinctive cry, help. For someone who faces a job cut or health crisis or watches retirement savings wither away, prayer offers a way to voice fear, to give us a voice over fear and anxiety. I have learned to resist the tendency to edit my prayers so that they sound sophisticated and mature. I believe God wants us to come exactly as we are, no matter how childlike we may feel. God is aware of every sparrow that falls, and God surely knows the impact of scary financial times on frail human beings. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship, and this is Pastor Dave, and today we're talking about giving and receiving, and we've read Malachi chapter 3, 10 and 12, and Philippians 3, 13 through 20, and Philippians 4, 13 through 20. We're talking about praying right now, and if we pray with the intent to listen as well as talk, we can enter into a second stage of meditation and reflection. Okay, my life savings has virtually disappeared. What can I learn from those seemingly catastrophic events, if that's what happens? A time of crisis presents a good opportunity to identify the foundation on which I construct my life. Actually, any crisis will give us a good opportunity to identify the foundation on which we construct our lives. If I place my ultimate trust in financial security or in the government's ability to solve my problems, I will surely watch the basement flood and the walls crumble. A friend from Chicago, Bill Leslie, used to say that the Bible asks three main questions about money. How did you get it? Legally or justly or exploitively? What are you doing with it? Indulging in luxuries or helping the needy? And what is it doing to you? Three basic questions about money. And we're talking about giving and receiving today. And I know this is a touchy subject. How did you get your money? What are you doing with it? And what is your money doing to you? Some of Jesus' most forceful parables and sayings go straight to the heart of the last question. The same week that global wealth shrank from $7 trillion, Zimbabwe's inflation rate hit a record 231 million percent. I've been to Zimbabwe. I don't even have words to describe the spiritual presence when I crossed from Zambia into Zimbabwe and the effects of their economy. In other words, if you have saved 1 million Zimbabwean dollars by Monday, on Tuesday it was worth $158. Do you understand what happened? This sobering fact leads me to the third and most difficult stage of prayer in crisis. I need God's help in taking my eyes off my problem in order to look with compassion on the truly desperate. When we pray, so often we look at what we are facing, and sometimes God asks us to look at what other people are facing too. What a testimony it would be if Christians resolved to increase their giving to build houses for the poor or combat AIDS in Africa or announce the kingdom values to a decadent, celebrity-driven culture. Such a response defies all logic and common sense. Unless, of course, we take seriously the moral code or the moral commandment of Jesus' simple tale about building houses on a sure foundation. So what? We've been talking about giving and receiving, and I've shared some facts. Here's the so what for us today. Sow some generosity into your world today. That's my challenge for you. If you're listening, sow some generosity into your world. Let us learn the matter of giving and receiving. What would happen if we realized that our money is not really our own? It's been given to us by Almighty God. We can either give God the whole carrot with no strings attached, or we can give God our best stallion, hoping to get some more for ourselves in return. The mission statement for the Seed Christian Fellowship, which is the church that I pastor, is a simple mission statement. We want to know God's love. We want to grow in Christ's grace. We want to go in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we want to sow seeds of faith. What would our church, or maybe I could expand this, what would your life look like if we lived out our mission statement and shared in the matter of giving and receiving? Paul was cheering on the Philippians. They had been so faithful in giving to the Lord and to the body of Christ. Paul says, your gifts are a fragrant offering. Your gifts are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And then he ends with this powerful word, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. When we give to the Lord, we become a fragrant offering pleasing to God. We've been, at the church that I serve, we've been founded on knowing God's love, growing in Christ's grace, and going out into the world in the power of the Holy Spirit, dwelling within us and sowing seeds of faith in our world. We've been doing that. We're a fairly new church, a church plant, and we've been challenged as a church to take and live by faith. We are a church, but we are a people of God that has a message of thankfulness for all that we've been given. And the encouragement for us is to be committed to the work yet to be done in our world. Through prayer and sowing, we become a fragrance to God. The so what belongs to each one of us. Through my prayers and through my sowing, am I a fragrant offering to the King of Kings? That's a so what, and I use the personal pronoun my instead of we. But I could say, through your prayers and through your sowing, are you a fragrant offering to the King of Kings? That's a challenging question as we look at that today. Am I showing the fragrance of Christ? Am I showing the fragrance of Christ? Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we give thanks for your great word. We give thanks that you have taught us through Philippians that you will meet all of our needs according to the glorious riches in Christ Jesus. We ask now, Lord, there are people in need, and may we have eyes to see and a heart to receive and hands and feet to go and help. Lord, move us so that we can see where your seeds need to be sown. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship, and this is Pastor Dave, and I just want to take a moment at the end of this message and tell you what a blessing it is for me to be a part of your life. And I have received emails after emails, people asking for prayer or people asking for a link to the message. If you need prayer, you can email me at PastorDave@theSeedChristianFellowship.com, and our prayer team will pray for you, will write a prayer for you, and we will pray. We want to sow into your life God's word. And we've been blessed to receive financial gifts and support through the years to support this ministry. But I would also say that if you want to hear any of our messages, you can go to our website and click on the sermons, and you can listen to the messages here on the radio or the messages that are given at the church. Our vision, our calling is to help you grow in grace, help you to come to know God's love, and help you to go out and sow seeds of faith into this world. Giving and receiving, what a wonderful word. Philippians 4:19 is a verse that you could memorize. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:9. May God meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. It's never too late to come to know God's great love and grow in Christ's grace. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week, and remember, God loves you, and so do we.